The first weekend after the breakup, the schedule hits the board before the staff meeting. The hostess is still tying her apron when she sees her name. Close, close, close. Then an early turn that cuts her sleep in half. 5 nights in a row at the front door while the chef sits on a milk crate by the back exit and smokes in silence. The restaurant buzzes under cheap track lights and humming refrigerators. Tickets will fly, tempers will rise, and guests will complain about wait times while she tries not to sway on her feet. To everyone else, it looks like a tight schedule in a busy place. To her, it feels targeted. He holds the pen that writes her life for the week. She has never felt more exposed than in that moment, staring at black ink on cheap paper, knowing this is only the beginning. Chapter 1. The kitchen came alive before the doors even opened. Metal hit metal, pans warmed on the burners, and the hood swallowed the heat with a dull roar. The chef moved through it all with a tight jaw and quick hands. He called out prep lists, checked sauces, tasted, corrected, and never once looked toward the host stand. Out front, she straightened menus and wiped down the podium. The front door glass still smelled faintly of cleaner. Streetlights threw dull stripes across the floor. She could feel him behind the wall, every clipped word and every slammed drawer, even though she could not hear the details. The air between them had shifted during the past week. The private jokes had died. The text threads had thinned. Now they were two people tied together by shifts and shared secrets that no longer felt safe. The manager walked past with a clipboard and a tired smile. He gave the chef a quick nod through the service window and then stepped over to the host stand. "Full books tonight. You ready, Mia?" She forced a short answer. "Always." He tapped the empty space on his clipboard where the schedule would attach tomorrow, thinking about letting Dante handle next week's shifts. He wants to tighten things up, make it more efficient. Her throat went dry. The manager moved on before she could respond, already focused on inventory numbers and staff no-shows. She watched him greet the servers at pre-shift, then listened to the chef outline specials in a flat, controlled voice. When he said, "We move as one tonight," she heard something more. A warning under the words. Service hit hard as soon as the doors opened. Couples trying to beat the rush. Families sliding into booths. Parties that had booked late and now wanted the best tables in the house. She smiled, checked coats, quoted times. Her hands moved by habit while her mind kept drifting back to the walk-in cooler 3 nights earlier. They had gone in to grab more herbs. The door closed behind them and the cold wrapped around their voices. She had chosen that moment because it was private. No one watching. Only the hum of the compressor and the smell of produce. "I can't keep doing this," she had said. "The sneaking. The mood's on the line when something goes wrong between us." He had stared at the racks for a long second and then at her. "So what are you saying?" "I am done. We are done. Work is work. That is it." He had given a small nod, nothing more. No argument. No plea. Just a quiet fine that felt heavier than a shout. Now, as she eased a family into a corner booth, she could feel that fine sitting between them out of sight. Tickets started to stack at the pass. The printer whined. He called orders with sharp precision, never missing a beat, never once saying her name. Hours blurred. The room heated up. Wine glasses clinked. Servers brushed past with armfuls of plates. She took names, quoted weights, juggled demands. The manager floated from table to table with his thin smile, putting out small fires. From the corner of her eye, she watched the chef's reflection in the window glass. Focused. Controlled. Coiled. Closing came late. The last guests drifted out into the night. She stacked menus and wiped the podium. Servers rolled silverware, while music from someone's phone leaked through their tired chatter. The manager checked his watch and announced an early meeting in the morning. Inventory review. Schedule posting. No one looked thrilled. She slipped out the back door into the dark alley to breathe. The air was cooler there, carrying the faint smell of dumpsters and distant rain. She pulled her jacket tight and leaned against the brick. A minute later, the door creaked and he stepped out, apron still on, a cigarette already between his fingers. "We need to talk," he said. Her shoulders tensed. "We already did." He lit the cigarette and watched the tip glow. "So that is it for you. You turn it off and just walk around out there like nothing ever happened." "That was the point," she said. "We keep it clean. We work. We move on." He took a long drag and looked past her at the far end of the alley. "You think you get to choose how this feels of the two of us?" "I am not fighting with you out here," she said. not after a 12-hour shift. A muscle jumped in his jaw. You put all of this in a box and close it up. Then you come in tomorrow and expect everything to be the same. But it will not be. He dropped the cigarette and crushed it under his shoe. His eyes met hers for a moment. There was no pleading in them, only a cool assessment, the same way he looked at a new prep cook he was not sure about. You wanted clean, he said. You will get clean. He walked back inside without another word. The heavy door shut behind him. She stayed in the alley for a long minute, listening to the kitchen noise fade as lights clicked off inside. A chill moved through her that had nothing to do with the night air. The next morning, she came in early for the meeting. The staff gathered near the bar while the manager shuffled papers. A fresh sheet of white paper had been taped to the wall by the office door. Black ink. Names and times in neat rows. The manager cleared his throat. New schedule is up. Dante helped restructure shifts so we can cover the rushes better. Take a look after we finish. Her stomach tightened. The meeting dragged. Inventory issues. Late ticket times. A reminder about cell phones on the floor. Finally, he dismissed them. The little crowd drifted toward the paper. She saw her name first. Then the times. Close. 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 An opening shift jammed right after a late night. No weekend night off. The worst mix of late and early that the place could offer without breaking labor rules. She scanned the rest. Some servers had lighter weeks. The new hostess had a prime Friday night off. The balance was clear. This was not a mistake. Behind her, she felt movement. The chef stepped up beside the manager, arms folded, face unreadable. Looks tight, the manager said. This should keep the line covered and the door under control. The chef gave a short nod. We needed consistency. People were getting too comfortable. She did not look back at him. Her pulse thudded in her ears. To everyone else, it was just a schedule. To her, it was a message. This was how he would talk to her now. Not in the walk-in. Not in the alley. On the wall, in black ink, one week at a time. Chapter 2. The first week on the new schedule hit her body harder than any argument ever had. On Monday, she closed. The last guests lingered over dessert while the kitchen scrubbed down. She walked the floor in heavy steps, resetting tables, brushing crumbs into her palm. By the time she locked the front door, her legs ached and her eyes burned. She reached her apartment well past midnight and stared at her alarm before setting it. She had just enough time to sleep in short, shallow bursts. Tuesday morning, she was back at the host stand before the sun cleared the rooftops. Day shift was slower but unforgiving. Phone calls, reservation changes, deliveries arriving late. She watched the minute hand crawl through the slow hours. The chef arrived halfway through the afternoon, fresh from a later start. He passed her without a word and stepped into the kitchen to prep for the dinner rush. By Friday, the pattern had sunk in. Each night dragged into the next morning. Her meals were rushed bites in the hallway. Her back hurt from standing in cheap shoes for too many hours. Her patience with rude guests thinned. She started snapping at small things, then caught herself and forced a smile back on. Co-workers noticed, but only in passing. A server asked if she was getting sick. Another joked that she needed a vacation. No one said what they all could see on the paper by the office door. Her name carried the worst mix of shifts. No one else had that run. On Saturday, the manager approached the host stand between seatings. You doing all right, Mia? You look tired. I am being scheduled into the ground, she said. I have not had a real night off in 2 weeks. He frowned at the book in her hands instead of her face. It is a busy stretch. Dante says we need our strongest people during peak hours. You know you can handle it. Some of the newer hosts cannot. He is not the one on these shifts, she said. The manager gave a vague shrug. He is covering in the back. It evens out. We will revisit it next month. He walked away before she could answer. The kitchen bell rang. A server called for menus. The moment slipped away, swallowed by noise. That night, a party of 12 walked in without a reservation and demanded a table. She juggled chairs, moved place settings, pulled staff from the bar to help. The chef glared at the tickets when the order came in all at once. Heat rolled through the pass. When one entree came back undercooked by a guest who wanted perfection more than food, the chef's control finally cracked. He called her to the pass. You sat them on top of 4 other tables, he said. You see the board. You know what that does back here. She could feel eyes on her from both sides of the line. Servers. Bussers. Even the dishwasher paused. They came as a walk-in, she said. They wanted to sit right away. We are short on tables. I did what I could. He pointed at the tangle of tickets. You did what you always do. You make your job the center and everyone else can scramble. The words hit deeper than they should have. They carried pieces of late-night talks, past arguments, small digs that had once been jokes between two people who shared a bed instead of a hallway. Now he used them in public. You are putting me on every closing shift, she said. Her voice stayed steady, but it cost her. You are building the week around me. That is not about the board. His eyes hardened. You want to talk personal, do it on your own time. Out here you are a host who sat a 12 top at a bad moment. Own that. He turned away, dismissing her. Staff went back to work as if a bell had been rung. She stood for half a second, heat rising in her chest. Then she walked back to the front with her face like stone. Later, in the tiny bathroom, she locked the door and stared at herself in the mirror. The fluorescent light carved dark half moons under her eyes. She pressed her hands to the sink to steady herself. This had gone past hurt feelings. It had become a grind. At home that night, she opened her phone and scrolled through photos. She did not look at the old images of them together, though they were there, woven through months of her life. Instead, she took new pictures. The posted schedule on the restaurant wall. Her name highlighted in screen captures. Shift times set against the rest of the staff. She opened a notes app and started logging. Dates. Shifts. Comments from the manager. Remarks from the chef at the pass. She did not know yet what she would do with any of it, but the act of writing it down gave her a thin line of control. Week 2 arrived with no relief. Another string of late nights and early mornings. Another weekend that kept her from a family gathering she had looked forward to for months. She stared at the text from her sister, a simple, "We miss you," and felt anger rise under the fatigue. At pre-shift on Thursday, someone joked about the schedule. A server laughed and said, "Guess you really impressed the boss, Mia. You never seem to leave." A few people chuckled. She did not. The chef heard it. His mouth pulled into something that looked almost like a smile, but there was no warmth in it. "Some people are reliable," he said. "The restaurant rewards that." She met his eyes for the first time in days. There it was. The hint pulled into the open and dropped on the floor between them, coated in sugar for everyone else. That night, a small mistake turned into a weapon. She double-booked a table during a chaotic rush. Two parties arrived at once. One had a reservation. The other insisted they had made one as well. Voices rose. The manager stepped in, pacified them with a free appetizer, and asked her to explain how it had happened. It was a simple error. A name written twice in tight script. A missed note on the screen. It could have happened to anyone. Back in the kitchen, when the rush eased, the chef called out again. "Host stand," he said. "We are only as strong as the first point of contact. If that fails, everything else slides." He did not need to say her name. Everyone knew who handled the door. The line fell quiet for a second. Then the noise picked back up. She went home that night feeling both small and tightly wound. Her notes grew. Her photos folder filled. Somewhere in the haze of exhaustion and anger, a different question began to form. How long was she willing to stand in front of a door that could be used against her? Chapter 3. The decision settled on her during a quiet Tuesday afternoon, when the restaurant felt half asleep. Rain tapped the windows. A handful of tables lingered over coffee. The manager was in the office on a call. The chef had not arrived yet. She stood at the host's stand with the reservation book open, but her eyes were on her phone. On the screen, her notes app stretched back through weeks. Shift times. Comments. Small humiliations. Missed days with family and friends. The pattern was clear now. Anyone who cared to look would see it. The person with control over the schedule had used it in a way that had nothing to do with business needs. She opened a new document on her personal email. The cursor blinked at the top of the blank page. 2. The regional manager address listed on the employee handbook. 2. The owner, whose email the staff used only rarely. She added both. Her fingers hovered before she began. She laid out the dates. The shifts. Side-by-side comparisons between her weeks and other hosts. She described the end of the relationship in simple terms, naming no details that were not needed. She wrote about the sudden change in scheduling that followed. She recounted specific comments she could place in time. She attached photos of the posted schedules, each image stamped with its date. She did not ask them to believe her pain. She asked them to look at her hours. By the time the manager came out of the office, She had saved the draft, but not sent it. He announced that a big party had booked for Saturday night. 50th birthday. Fixed menu. Important guests. Everyone needs to be sharp, he said. We will be under a microscope. The chef walked in as he spoke, coat over his shoulder, knife roll in hand. He listened, nodded once, then moved past the host's stand. His eyes crossed hers only for a moment. There was nothing in them. No apology. No second thoughts. Only the blunt confidence of someone certain the system would hold him up. The days crawled toward Saturday. Once more, the schedule pinned her to the busiest nights. She closed on Friday and was set to arrive hours early on Saturday to prep the floor for the party. She slept in short, broken pieces. On Saturday afternoon, she arrived to find the dining room half transformed. Balloons tied to chairs. A long table set with folded napkins and cheap candles. The kitchen hummed. The chef moved faster than usual, tracking prep, tasting sauces, checking that every part of the menu would land on time. He was in his element. So was she in a different way. She greeted the party planner, coordinated with the servers, checked the seating chart twice. Outwardly, it looked like any big night. Inside, a countdown had started. An hour before the guests arrived, she stepped into the small staff bathroom and locked the door. She pulled out her phone, opened the email draft, and read it once more from top to bottom. The facts held. The tone stayed measured. She added one last line. I am not trying to destroy anyone. I am trying to work without fear. Then she hit send. She stared at the screen as the message left her outbox, then slid the phone into her pocket. Her reflection in the mirror looked the same. Tired eyes. Tight jaw. But something under the surface had shifted. The secret was no longer only hers. The party began. Guests surged through the door in waves of perfume and loud voices. She greeted them, checked names, guided them to their seats. The first course left the kitchen on time. The chef rode the line with perfect focus, calling orders and plating with practiced speed. Halfway through the night, as the main course hit the table, the manager's phone buzzed on his belt. He stepped away from the floor to answer, face tightening as he listened. When he returned, he looked 10 years older. He walked straight to the host stand. I need to talk to you, he said. Her chest tightened. Now? Yes. In the office. The small room at the back of the restaurant felt even more cramped with both of them inside. He sat behind the desk. She stayed standing. I got an email from corporate, he said. From you. She kept her voice steady. Then you know why I sent it. He rubbed his forehead. They have your documentation. They have the photos. They are asking questions about scheduling practices. About retaliation. They are looping in HR and the owner. She waited. The noise of the restaurant leaked faintly through the door. The party laughed at something out front. Time stretched. I am supposed to tell you that they take this seriously, he said. That there will be an investigation. That they will review schedules and talk to staff. And in the meantime, she asked. He hesitated. In the meantime, they suggest we adjust the current schedule to reduce any appearance of retaliation. She almost laughed at the choice of words. Appearance. Months of exhaustion and fear boiled down to how things looked on paper. I am also supposed to tell you, he added, that if you feel you cannot safely continue working here during that process, you can request leave. There it was. The door cracked open. She thought about another round of shifts under the same roof as the man who had turned their history into a weapon. She thought about staring at the wall each week, pretending the ink meant nothing. I do not feel safe working here, she said. The truth came out in a flat tone. Not while he decides when I sleep and when I eat. The manager nodded slowly. Then we will process it as a voluntary resignation with cause. HR will reach out. You will have a chance to speak on the record. She felt the ground tilt a little. Leaving meant losing a paycheck, a routine, a set of co-workers who knew her. It meant stepping into uncertainty while he kept his knives and his title, at least for now. Will anything happen to him? She asked. That is not my call, the manager said. But I can tell you that the owner is not happy, and corporate sees patterns in your hours that they do not like. There will be questions he cannot dodge with a tight schedule speech. She walked out of the office with her apron in her hand. The party still roared. The chef stood at the pass, barking orders, unaware of the email thread unfolding above his head. She approached the host's stand one last time, placed her apron on the shelf, and picked up her bag. A server gave her a puzzled look. You heading out? Yeah, she said. For good. She stepped through the front door into the night. The air outside was cool and damp, the street slick with earlier rain. Her legs still trembled from the day, from the weeks before it, from the choice she had just made. There was no triumph in it, only a rough kind of relief. Later, when she lay awake in her small apartment, sleep would not come easily. She would replay conversations, second-guess choices, wonder if she should have stayed and watched the investigation play out from inside. Weeks down the line, she would hear through a former co-worker that the owner had brought in a consultant to review management practices, that HR had flagged the schedule patterns, that the chef had been moved on from the restaurant under vague language. By then, she would be learning the rhythms of a new job at a different place, reading a fresh schedule with wary eyes. The cost of what had happened would linger in her pulse and in her trust. But for now, as she walked away from the glow of the restaurant windows, one simple fact held. He no longer owned her time.